$1 trillion. That's how much the world's biggest companies are set to borrow this year. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That borrowing figure is according to the Corporate Debt Index at Janus Henderson, one of London's top asset managers. It says borrowing by the world's 900 biggest firms is set to surge again this year after a record-setting 2019. As the BBC's Andrew Wood explains, the rush to issue new corporate bonds comes as companies try to bolster balance sheets wrecked by the coronavirus pandemic.
It's a matter of survival, really. It doesn't matter how much profit you make. If you don't have enough cash as a company, if you can't pay the bills, you can't pay your salaries, you can't pay your suppliers, then you're going to go bust. Last year, actually, there was quite an increase in borrowing around the world, but that was mainly to fund things like mergers, acquisitions, takeovers, and so on. Other companies were using the cash to pay dividends, or they were buying back shares, which the shareholders on the whole tend to like because it means the value of their shares go up. But things, of course, changed around about March this year. That was when suddenly it was difficult to borrow money on the markets commercially, and that was when countries stepped in and began to start lending money at very low rates to companies in order to help them.
Some of these companies now have bigger debt loads than some countries, don't they?
Well, one example that everybody points at is Volkswagen, which now has about the same debt comparable to, say, South Africa or Hungary. Janus Henderson, who did this survey, reckons that there's going to be about $9 trillion, cumulatively speaking, of debt around four companies. Now, debt by itself is not good or bad. It just depends whether you can repay it or not. The authors of the forecast also say that debt has been going up faster than profits have been growing over the past few years. That is worrying.
But as you alluded to, interest rates around the world have been so low. Is this debt pile necessarily a problem for these companies?
Well, the lower interest rates are, the easier it is to pay that money back. But at some point, interest rates will have to go up, and that could be a problem for companies. Now, the worry is that when companies start coming out of the bad times caused by the coronavirus, whether they are making profit or not, they still have to pay the interest and pay back the debt. It's interesting that the chief economist of the International Monetary Fund last week was saying that perhaps governments should think again about lending money to so many companies to help save them, but think more in terms of perhaps buying shares or coming up with financial instruments that are more like buying shares, equity, saying that this is actually perhaps the way that governments should start thinking about, because otherwise these companies, when they've borrowed all this money, they're still going to have to pay the cash back, whether they're making profits or not.
The BBC's Andrew Wood in Hong Kong. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Let's check financial markets. Global shares are higher this morning as second quarter earnings season gets underway this week in the U.S. Major banks are set to report tomorrow. Here in Europe, the broad Stoxx 600 index is up 0.5% ahead of a meeting this week among EU leaders to discuss plans to inject hundreds of billions of dollars into economies hit by the coronavirus pandemic. And though stocks in Asia ended in the green today, sentiment in China cooled amid worries about escalating tensions between the U.S. and China. Beijing this morning announced reciprocal sanctions against three senior U.S. lawmakers and a U.S. envoy. That's after Washington last week imposed visa bans and asset freezes on Chinese officials over the treatment of Uyghur Muslims. The U.S. Republican Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz are among those targeted, as well as the U.S. Congressional Executive Commission on China. Beijing is accused of mass detentions, religious persecution, and forced sterilization of Uyghurs and others in the province of Xinjiang. It denies the allegations. Tensions between the U.S. and China were already high over the coronavirus pandemic, trade disputes, and a new national security law in Hong Kong. Liquor stores in South Africa have once again closed their doors after the country's president reintroduced a ban on alcohol sales overnight. The idea is lower drink-related hospital admissions at a time when COVID-19 cases are rising sharply in the country. But many businesses object to the move, claiming it simply adds to the economy's troubles. The BBC's Matthew Davis has more on that.
Just weeks ago, there were scenes of jubilation as South Africans celebrated the lifting of an alcohol ban that had prohibited not just the sale, but also the distribution and transportation of drink across the country. But that party ended abruptly on Sunday night as President Cyril Ramaphosa reimposed the ban, saying that hospital beds were needed to care for coronavirus patients. Emergency services and doctors reported a dramatic fall in the number of drink driving and other alcohol-related injuries during the ban in April and May. But brewers and winemakers suffered. unable to move or sell its beer, South African Breweries, which is part of Anheuser-Busch InBev, poured thousands of litres of it down the drain in May. The ban on transportation also hit winemakers, who were not able to get their produce to South Africa's ports for export overseas. Both now face renewed hardship. In particular, wine exporters risk losing out to Australian and Californian vineyards, because big overseas buyers in places like Europe may begin to view supplies from South Africa as unreliable. I'm the BBC's Matthew Davis for Marketplace.
And finally, just this hour, Google has announced a $10 billion plan to help boost India's digital infrastructure. It's an issue close to the boss Sundar Pichai's heart. He grew up in India, where he said he had to wait for new technologies to be developed in other countries before he could use them to learn. Now, he said this investment, which is dubbed the Google for India Digitization Fund, will go toward building new products and services to fit India's needs, and it will leverage artificial intelligence to advance in areas including health, education, and agriculture. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.